their dollars today so that they will get to reinvest in 1 or 4 or 5 years in a higher interest rate environment. So we do have a healthy amount of audience for that short-term maturity, and we'll look to maximize marketing strategy with the help of RBC Capital.
Thank you.
I had a question. The Series A Prop K had $142 million, and this is $130 million. So does that mean that 12K remains to be sold at some future date, or am I not understanding that correctly?
No. So great question. And obviously, when we issue Series A GO bonds, that was back in 2011. Some of the principal have been repaid, and not all of the bonds are subject to optional redemption or eligibility to be refunded. So when we issue the bonds, we set the date that only bonds maturing after 2021 are eligible to be refinanced. That's a common provision that investors look for, because they would like to secure as much investment opportunity as they can when they execute the decision, so they can forecast on their interest earnings. So that is why we are only refunding bonds maturing after 2021. So a portion of the bonds will remain outstanding associated with the Series A after the refunding. And there are also other portion of bonds that are not subject to optional redemption. But end of the day, that's the structure that will help the district maximize the taxpayer savings.
Great, thanks.
I don't really have a question. Well, maybe I do a little bit, but more of a statement, which is my understanding is we weren't going to be able to sell this series for a really, really long time. So I think we're actually going to pay it off before I thought we would actually be able to issue the bond. So that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So thank you both, everybody, for working so hard on that. What is the intent to do with the money from the Series D? I know it's not a lot, but is it earmarked for specific?
It is earmarked. We're going, as Tova mentioned, we're currently in the midst of $100 million of construction projects. San Marcos Middle School, that project is already completely funded. Most of La Costa Meadows is already funded. What was not originally funded was all of Alvin Dunn, because remember, we had only allocated $17 million to that site. So this will go to fund more of the Alvin Dunn project, and then the remaining amount of the Alvin Dunn project will be funded by the last debt issue that we just did in the refunding of the lease revenue bonds. And so that'll pick up the bulk of that. And then at some point in time, we're also supposed to be getting money from the state. They did talk about the selling of bonds here before the end of the calendar year, and that remains hopeful to me that we will be receiving money from the state. That money has not been allocated, and so there will be a conversation with the superintendent and the board at some point in time about what do we do with that money, whether it be, I know Richland is still out there. We also had needed additional educational facilities throughout the district, and so we'll be looking at what options are available for those state resources. I am being very cautious in what I say in regards to that right now, because the rules are still being written. As you know, Governor Brown kind of revamped how to get qualified for that $32 million, or in our case, we still have to go through audits on projects that have already been finalized. But to answer your question, the $5 million primarily will be Alvin Dunn as well, and that will then will supplement the rest of the Alvin Dunn project with other funding sources.
Okay, and that's all three phases of Alvin Dunn.
All three phases of the Alvin Dunn project. I do want to remind the board, and I don't think Tova's still here. Tova did quote the project for Alvin Dunn really being budgeted right now at $63 million. But remember, we've only awarded contracts for phases 1 and 2. Phase 3 is still in design. So that $63 million number is a soft number right now, because we have not finished the design of phase 3 or even gotten a quote to do the construction for it yet. So just want to remind the board on that. So being really soft about that bubble about how much it's going to cost.
Okay. Great, thank you.
I one more comment. It's incredibly satisfying to be up here to sell this final phase. You know, there's a bunch of us, including a lot of teachers and other employees, and you know, some of us at this dais here who worked really hard in 2010 to get this on the ballot and then to campaign it and to get Prop K passed. And here we are 7 years later seeing the fruits of that labor, which is a beautiful high school in San Marcos High School. And we're deep into construction on three of the schools that we promised the voters and the taxpayers that this is how we would spend the money, in addition to a lot of other improvements with some of the money too over the years. So this is it, right? This is it. We're selling the end of Prop K. Prop K is going to be over. We're going to be paying it back over time. But I think as I sit here, I could say with some pride that the taxpayers are getting a good deal, right? They're paying back this debt. I understand that over a long period of time, but the end result is going to be incredible improvements to the educational facilities in our school district. And that's what we said we would do in 2010 if they voted for it. So,
well, I want to provide you, since you're all giddy with good news, I want to provide you a little bit of good news also. You'll see this information in a presentation that Rachel had created, and it's attached to item 9.6, but a couple things that I don't want to get missed. First is on slide one. Our rate is actually decreasing for 2017-18. We are not going to be at $60 per $100,000 for assessed value. The current estimated rate, it'll be that it'll be dropped to $54.42. And so we're really excited about that. Once I get the final confirmation from the county auditor, I'll be working with Anna Lucia so that way we can get a press release out, because that's going to be a good thing to be able to sell to the community and talking about how we've been able to drop that rate far sooner than we are able to. And the reason why I want to say that is, I would love to be able to take credit for this, but I wasn't here when we sold 2010, so I have to give the credit to Gary on this one. When Gary worked with, at that time, Delinka, now Cooperative Strategies, and did the assessed values and the assumptions in regards to assessed value growth, he was very conscientious in assuming a very low rate in regards to the assessed value increases. We've carried that on since I've gotten here. We assume a 2% annual assessed valuation growth per year. On slide three, you'll notice that the 2017-18 assessed valuation growth in San Marcos Unified grew 6.01%. The five-year historical growth was 6%. The 10-year historical growth was 2.25%. You're going to ask why the dip to 10 years. Remember, we had that great recession. That I'm happy over the last 5 years we've rebounded, but even over 10 years, it was 2.25. If you look at our 20-year growth rate, it's 7.5%. So even despite looking at 20-year 7.5%, a 31-year growth rate of 7.2%, we were very conservative, used a 2% assessed valuation growth, and that has become a benefit to us and definitely to our taxpayers. It also has sold very well with our credit rating agencies as well. They look very favorably upon that.
That's great.
I think we forget what the economic climate was when we did this, and that it was not a popular thing to take this project on in the first place, and I think credit to our community how invested they are in supporting students and schools and our community. And when you look at what we've been able to do with that money over time, and the fact that during a recessive period of time when a lot of people were out of jobs and there was no work, we put a lot of people to work. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those people were from within our community. So I think that, and then when you look at the climate for cabs and different things that were going on at the time that were not very popular, and that where we had neighboring districts getting into trouble, and we kind of took on this conservative approach and made promises that we're being able to keep and to be able to provide some benefit back to our taxpayers, so that with the promise that, you know, we haven't forgotten, we're keeping looking forward, I think is a credit to what you guys do and the hard work and dedication of the community. So I think there's lots of cause for celebration here. So good job. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to go back to 9.5, which I'm not going to read all again, but that was the $5.255 million. Do I have a motion to adopt resolution number 8-1718?
Move to adopt.
Second.
Moved by Randy, seconded by Janet. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, moving on to 9.6, resolution number 9-1718, resolution of the governing board of the San Marcos Unified School District authorizing and providing for the issuance of not to exceed $130 million of San Marcos Unified School District's 2017 general obligation refunding bonds, prescribing the terms of sale for such bonds, authorizing execution and delivery of a preliminary official statement and an official statement for such bonds, approving a bond purchase agreement, approving certain documents and agreements, making findings and determinations, and taking related actions. Do I have a motion to adopt resolution number 9-1718?
Move to adopt.
I'll second.
Moved by Victor, seconded by Stacy. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 9.7, certification of 2016-17 unaudited actuals financial report. Back to you, Mark. Oh, you're coming to the podium. Here he comes. I'll let you do whatever you want. You're a new dad. Sleep deprived, I'm sure.
So good evening. That was the good news. Now I get to talk about the unaudited actuals, and we'll get right into it. So at the adopted budget, we had shared the estimated actuals for the 2016-17, and as is normal practice, we have a closeout period in July and August, whereby we finalize the accounting entries for 16-17 and then produce the unaudited actuals and bring those to the board for approval. So in front of you this evening, you can see that for our LCFF revenue sources, we had anticipated $167 million in LCFF revenue. It came in at $167.3 million for a positive variance to the district of $170,000. Federal revenues came in about $702,000 less, but that's not really the true story. The true story is that GAAP states that if you have federal revenues that you have received, but you did not spend them in the year that you received it, it is called deferred revenue. So you don't recognize the revenue in the year you received it. You recognize the revenue in the year that you spend it. And so while we received that $700,000 this year, it actually is a component of the restricted fund balance, and it will be recognized as revenue in 17-18 along with the corresponding expenses. And so that's kind of, it looks weird there because we know how much money we're getting in the federal government, we know how much we received, but we did not spend it all. It was designed to be spent in 17-18 through the carryover process that we're allowed through the federal programs. Other state revenues came in about $130,000 higher, and then other local revenues came in $1.2 million. The reason for that is, as you know, we are a member of several redevelopment agencies. There are times when surplus revenues come in through the redevelopment agency successor agencies, and it is not as an offset to our general fund resources. It is restricted for capital improvement projects. And that funding came in $140,000 higher than we had anticipated. Leases and rentals, these are leases and rentals provided whereby we provide services to other agencies and they are reimbursing us. That came in $230,000 higher. It's been a positive that the interest rate market for money sitting in the account has yielding more additional revenue, so that's come in about $130,000. Our PTOs and other supporting agencies are continuing to support us. Donations came in about $250,000. And then special ed revenues came in about $312,000 higher than we had anticipated. That is the bulk of the variance of $1.2 million. By and large, you can see that for the year, total revenues were $800,000 more than we had anticipated on more than $208 million in revenues. So really pleased of that variance. On the expenses side, you can see certificated salaries. Now, on this side, a black number is not favorable to a district. The red number is favorable. So certificated salaries came in $745,000. When we budget substitute costs, we look at historical substitute costs over the years. And what we noticed this year is that we had a large increase in sub-teacher costs. Some of that was professional development training, one-time professional development. Also, as a reminder, we increased our sub-cost also. And so we are seeing as the result of our sub-daily rate of pay. And so as the result of the number of days that we have in sub-costs as well as that higher rate of pay, we had a higher substitute cost for the year. Classified salaries, very close, only $81,000 higher than anticipated. Employee benefits come in $227,000 less. You're probably ask, how does that happen? We anticipate a certain number of employees enrolling in certain health and welfare benefit plans, and they may not choose the most high-cost plan that would require the highest district contribution. And so as the result of that, that ends up yielding a little bit of a savings. Books and supplies and services and operating, I'll talk about these a little bit together because they have the same reasons. The reason for this $2.3 million variance is as the result of the following explanation. It's the result of unspent federal budgets. So we just talked about on the previous, we had federal revenues and we didn't spend it. So that yields a savings here. And in parentheses and in italics, you can see where does that money go in fund balance. So the unspent federal budgets flows to the restricted portion of the fund balance because it's restricted for those federal programs. We can't just spend it however we want to. We have to spend it within those restrictions. We have unspent site allocations. Annually, we provide an allocation to each one of our school sites. Cumulative, that has grown over the years where our sites, for whatever reason, they might be saving it for a specific purpose, but they haven't spent those general fund site allocations. Those flow to the committed site carryover, and you'll see that in two slides. In addition to that, we have been giving allocations to the sites and through specific departments from the supplemental funding that we get. We've talked about supplemental and concentration grant funding. About $700,000 of supplemental funding that had been allocated to sites and departments was not spent this year. That is not restricted. That actually flows to the additional reserves, our emergency reserves in the district. And then in addition to that, there are other allocations in the books and supplies and services and operating that were also not spent. That also flows to that emergency reserve component of the fund balance. I don't have a pop-up for this, but you'll see capital outlay. I do want to talk about that $425,000 increase. Remember, we've been getting Prop 39 for energy improvement projects in our district. We didn't anticipate doing much energy improvement projects during this summer, the 16-17 summer, because it was a short summer. However, we had identified a project that was available that we could get done over the short summer, and so that's the increase of that, is the capital project associated with those energy improvement projects. Now on the screen, you can see a comparison between at the estimated actuals, we anticipated total deficit spending for the district for 16-17 of a little more than $6 million. If you take the revenues minus the expenses from the previous two slides, you can see that our deficit spending was only $3.8 million, or a positive variance to the district of $2.2 million. I will talk about in the next slide about how that $2.2 million, while that is a positive for the district's entire fund balance. Remember, the fund balance is only a small portion of the story. There are components of that fund balance that some have restrictions and some have commitments. So now I've shown and illustrated at the estimated actuals, that's the second column, each one of those individual components of the fund balance, what did we estimate, and what is the ending result at the unaudited actuals. And I'll talk a couple about these. The revolving cash and inventory, remember we have a petty cash fund, and we also have to value our inventory in our warehouse. We anticipated that being $461,000, really came into $450,000. That's not a decrease in the value of our petty cash. It's a decrease in the amount of inventory that we have. Cash wasn't devalued. I just want to make sure that's clear. Restricted programs, those are what I talked about earlier. It's a number of various restricted programs that exist within the district. Of course, we have our federal programs, Title I, Title II, Title III, but we also have the routine restricted maintenance account as well as those Prop 39 dollars. All of those are included in the restricted programs. We have those various committed funds. Those have been committed by the board for very specific purposes. For example, the site carryover, we have had a longstanding district practice that all carryover, all monies that have been allocated out of the district's general fund from non-supplemental funding sources, unspent by sites get to be carried over. Departments do not get carryovers, but school sites do. That carryover at the end of 16-17 was $868,000. Some of that also is donations that have been given to school sites that had not been spent also by June 30th. We have our health benefit savings. That is the not our money. That is the money associated with our the savings from our previous collective bargainings. Those are properties of both associations, CSEA and SMEA, and we are holding it for them, and we'll spend it at their direction for health and welfare benefits for their membership. The one-time mandate, we anticipated a balance of $8.8 million. It really came in just shy of $9 million. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The categorical programs, those are state categorical programs that we are not required to commit those funds, but the practice has been within the district to continue to commit those. And then also instructional materials of $363,000. That's a carryover of some instructional materials, primarily lottery funding that has existed and we are carrying over. We anticipate, just as a side, we anticipate that those entire instructional materials of $363,000 will be spent during the 17-18 year. The required 3% reserve is just under $6.5 million. And then the additional reserves is everything else, and that's the $11.4 million. We've talked about in previous board meetings about the need to address our district's financial situation and the deficit spending over the next 3 years. The boxes in front of you, the one-time mandate funding of $9 million and the additional reserves of $11.4 million, these we will use to assist us in balancing the budget for 2017-18, and I'll show a slide on that here in a minute. As a reminder, this is as of June 30th, 2017. So it does not include that $8.9 million, does not include what we talked about at the 45-day budget update, the additional funds that we're receiving one time during the 17-18 year. This slide will be updated at the first interim report to provide a better picture in regards to the amount of one-time fundings when we do our first interim report. So we'll update this at that point in time. This is a historical slide. I shared this at the last board meeting showing historical deficit spending as well as changes in restricted, committed, assigned, and additional reserves for the 12-13 fiscal year through the 15-16 fiscal year. You can see that our reserves and that total reserve percentage is the additional reserves line as well as the required 3% minimum. So you can see that through that four-year period, our total reserves have increased from 6.2% to 11.1%. Looking at it another way, if you subtract 3 off of every one of those numbers, you can see that our additional reserves or our emergency reserves were grew from 3.2% to 8.1% from 12-13 through 15-16. When you look at the results of the 16-17 unaudited actuals, as well as 17-18, 18-19, and 19-20, those deficit spending numbers are from the 45-day budget update that we provided to the board at the August board meeting. You can see that that projected growth as we continue to move forward in that deficit spending. I talked to Melissa about this a little bit earlier, and I did not do arrows on here, so I'm going to talk you through it. If you see that in 16-17 we finished the additional reserves of $11.4 million, that number goes back to the previous slide. You can see 17-18, if you take $12.9 million of the deficit spending and take out the additional reserves of $11.4 million, you can see that it's not enough. And so we are pulling additional resources from the committed funds in order to ensure that we maintain our 3% reserve for 17-18. In 18-19 and 19-20, I have said at previous board meetings, not all of the committed funds can be spent by the board in order to solve its fiscal or to solve its budget. That $820,063, if you go back one slide, and I will, two slides, that is the amount in the health benefit savings account that is for SMEA and CSEA, their portion of the savings. So we cannot spend that. But the one-time funds can. And so you can see that there are no additional reserves to pull from. The committed funds, all but $820,000 are used, and as the result of that, the new update, as the result of having a little bit of money fall out in the 16-17 year, that 18-19 number has dropped a little bit, that now the minimum cut we would need to do in order to stay legal for 18-19 is $7.7 million. In 2019-20, the cumulative amount over the two-year period through 19-20 is now $31 million. That has dropped, as the result of a little bit of money falling out of the 16-17 year and being able to recover some of those reserves. The county office reviewed our adopted budget as well as our 45-day budget revision, and the following are some notable statements that were contained in that letter that were sent to the board president, the superintendent, and myself. The first is that the budget submitted projects the district will be unable to meet its financial commitments in subsequent fiscal years without additional budget solutions. I want to remind the board that we've all talked ad nauseum about needing and willing to make the necessary adjustments in order to ensure that we do make our financial commitments. But because we hadn't identified those in the budget, it's identified in the budget that we can't meet them because we haven't identified any solutions yet. So I just want to put into context why the county office said what they said. It's because we hadn't identified what those are. We are committed to making those necessary revisions. The second is just a reminder from the county office that deficit spending erodes our balances and impairs the district's ability to maintain the required general fund reserve. Nothing that we haven't already said. They just say it a little bit differently. They also caution the district and the board to ensure that expenditures, when one-time expenditures are made and deficit spending is done, that it be one-time in nature and not multi-year commitments, because that has a compounding effect to the district's finances. They also noted that the district's contributions from the unrestricted general fund to the restricted general fund is projected to increase 11.8% this year. That is due to increases in personnel costs specifically for the special education programs. And finally, based on the analysis contained within our adopted budget and within the 45-day budget update, cuts were identified at that point in time of $8.5 million and cumulative over through 19-20 of $32 million. Again, these numbers do not derive what I just shared on the previous slide, because this is the official document on record with the county for the adopted budget update. What I'm providing to you, the county has not seen yet. They will see our first interim update, and then they will review it at that point in time. They do identify that those savings represent 5.2% and 18.56% over those, and they do indicate that that 18.6% number, almost 20% of your general fund, is a substantial amount to reduce in any one year. Just some upcoming schedules, and I do see that I have a number of typos on here. I was really trying to get ahead of this. But October 2017, we'll have further discussion from myself and maybe Melissa in regards to our budget. At the November 2017 board meeting, we'll have preliminary discussion regarding budget modifications for 2018-19 school year. And then that should actually say December 2017. We will have our first interim report and a resolution on budget modifications. And I really went far out there. Governor Brown will not be in office in January 2019. January 10th, 2018, Governor Brown will release his final January budget proposal for the 2018-19 year. Shortly after that, I will be going to a conference to go ahead and get a little bit more information on that. And we will then, as I normally do, provide an update to the board probably at the February board meeting. The reason why I want to remind the board on this is in December we produced the February update, where the first interim update. It's not until January that I received the governor's budget proposal. We will be able to glean a little bit into what's going on with the state economy. The state economy is continuing to go well. I'm happy to report. But we're going to have to continue to look at our individual situation, and we're going to have to do a first interim report and a resolution based upon what is known at the first interim report. And we will get more information several weeks after when Governor Brown goes ahead and issues his January budget update, budget proposal for 2018-19. I didn't do the rest of the calendar for the rest of the fiscal year. I just took us through January 2000. In this case, 2019, it's really January 2018. With that, I will take any questions. Kept it short tonight.
No question, just good job on the unaudited actuals.
Yeah.
That was, you're almost spot on. I appreciate these presentations, Mark. I think you're very thorough, and I have to tell you, especially as we enter into these uncertain times, I'm glad you're here to explain them to us. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. Okay, do I have a motion to approve the unaudited actuals financial report?
Move to approve.
Second it.
Moved by Randy, seconded by Victor. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Consent agenda.